much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned from God to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, we've been doing a series on the five purposes of the church. We've discussed the purpose of evangelism in our church, that we're to go out and tell others the good news about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We've discussed the way in which we are to worship God and how we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we were able to dig into many truths about worshiping God in the spirit and the truth. And like worship, ministry is one of those things that as I studied more and more on it, I realized that it was going to take more than just one sermon for us to kind of thoroughly go over some of the things that God wants us to do in the ministry of the church. But every time I think about ministry and the church, I come to this passage of Scripture. And so I wanted to start with this passage of Scripture because it's going to give us a basis of how we should act and what truths we should use to guide us as we minister in the church, as we minister for the Lord. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and see what it takes to have the kind of ministry that God wants us to have at Beacon Church. So let's do that. Let's take a look at this passage. Now, I want you to understand something about this church at Thessalonica. It was a wonderful church. These people were having a great ministry, and their ministry was wonderful because of the things that are mentioned here in chapter 1. Their church was such a wonderful church and a wonderful ministry that it was talked about not only through Macedonia and Achaia, but all around that area as well. So the reputation of this church was one that when you talked about it, you recognized that it was a church that God was using and blessing and was a church that was ministering for the Lord. So I think as we remember that, it will help us to apply these things in our own lives. Now, look at verse 2 for a moment. Verse 2 says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonians, and he's saying, "I am praying for you always, making mention of you in our prayers." We're praying for you. What that tells me is this: in order to have a ministry, a great ministry, prayer must be given to it. In order to have a great ministry or a great church, prayer must be given to it. We see this in the intentions of Paul. He realizes that this church needs prayer. Even though it is a church that is doing right and doing good, it still needs prayer. And so I want you to understand how Paul prayed for this church, how he looked at this church, and how he prayed for this church, because it's really important to see that. First of all, I want you to see that he was thankful to God for this church. He was thankful for the church. You know, oftentimes we're critical of the church we're in. Oftentimes we're critical of the church. Oh, you know what? Every church in the world, okay, has things that you can criticize it for. Do you realize that? Everybody understand that? That there's no perfect church in this world? That you'll never find that? That there'll always be something that you can criticize a church for. But Paul does the opposite of that. Instead of being critical of the church, he is thankful for that church. Now, Paul knew their problems better than anybody, okay? And Paul knew the problems that exist in churches better than anyone. But he was grateful for the church. He was grateful and he prayed to God and thanked God for this church. He was thankful for it. Oftentimes, we're critical of the ministry we're in, but are we thankful for it? Gratefulness is the opposite of criticism. I've often heard pastors who are critical of the people that they minister to. That's not good. We need to be thankful for the people that God has given to us. Oftentimes, I hear of stories of church members who are ungrateful for the ministers that they have. I was at a church in Maryland one day, and the pastor and I were praying before the service, and the pastor was down, and I was wondering what he was down about, and he had told me that a family had just left the church, and nothing gets a pastor down more than that, obviously. But I asked him, I said, well, why did they say they left? And this was their reply. We're not getting anything out of the church. We're not getting anything out of the church. And so I looked at the pastor and I said, you know what? That tells me something about those folks. First of all, it tells me that they were self-centered. It was all about what they were going to get out of the church. Now understand something. You'll never have any kind of ministry if all you focus on is what you're getting out of a church. Because ministry isn't about what you get. It's about what you give. Understand that. Ministry is about what you give. What you can do for the Lord, what you can give. But I want you to understand something, and this is a principle of Scripture. When you give, you will reap what you sow, and then you will get. But if all you're coming into the church or the ministry for is to suck like a sponge what you can get out of it, and if you're not getting anything out of it, you're going to be looking for something else, then you've lost sight of what the church and ministry is all about. That's what we need to understand. It's a whole different way of looking at things. It's instead of a me-centered perspective, it is a everyone else and God-centered perspective. You see the difference? When we walk through the doors of the church, we're not saying, well, I don't like this. I wish things were this way. I want to have more things like this. I want, see, you know what the, what is the thing that we hear over and over again in that? I, right? I, me, right? Now, when you're in a ministry, you've got to think beyond that. You've got to think about others. Now, when you have concerns because you're concerned about others, then you'll be willing to really work and do the things that it takes to make a ministry great, right? That's the difference there. That's the difference. But when we're focused on us and we're constantly critical, it's easy to criticize others that are trying to do the work of the Lord, but try and do it yourself and see what it takes. And then you might be more grateful for those who are actually doing the work of the Lord. Okay? So it's very important that we see that. Paul was grateful. He was grateful to God. You know, when I say it makes a ministry great, when we're willing to come in and give. I loved our men's pizza and prayer night we had Friday night. It was great. We're going to continue to do it on Friday nights. Our men agreed that that was really a great time to do it, and everybody had a great time. But what was wonderful about it was the guys came prepared to give a word for the Lord. It was wonderful. All you guys, you had some great comments, and you were willing to use what God had fed you with in the Word to feed others. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about. Being able to come into the congregation not saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, like a little baby, but hey, what can I do to give? That's what ministry is. Now, we understand when people are first come to the Lord that they need to be fed, right? We're here to do that. And we're here to lay out a buffet of God's Word and truths of God's Word for you to feast upon, okay? But remember, at some point, you want to be one of those folks that helps feed, okay? And that's what we're talking about here. And then I want you to notice that he prayed for the people. He said, praying for you all. Oftentimes, we forget that ministry, that this church is about people. It's not about the building we have. We have a beautiful building, right? We have beautiful facilities. No one denies that. But it's really not about that. You realize this is not the church. We are the church. We are the church. It's about people. It's not about how many programs we have. You know, we've got some nice programs. Fantastic Friday, Sunday School, ladies Bible studies, men's things. We've got some nice programs. But I want you to understand that ministry is not about programs. It's about people. It's about us sharing our lives together, bearing one another's burdens, sharing the love of Christ with one another. That's what it's all about. You know, when I was young and just starting in the ministry, I was the associate pastor of a church in Woodbridge, Virginia, and I had a great pastor. He was a wonderful man. And at a Thanksgiving service we had, we were having a testimony time about what we were thankful for the church for. And I got up there as a young guy, and I said, well, I'm thankful that we broke our record attendance in the Sunday school class. I'm thankful that we were able to have a great vacation Bible school and all that kind of stuff, you know? And then my pastor got up there, and he said, you know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for all you people, because you just made this ministry what it is and how wonderful it is. And I was like, ooh, that's what I should have said, you know? But hey, I was young and I'm learning. I'm still learning, amen? But we need to look at people as our ministry. Not look at people for what they can do for our ministry. You understand? Don't look at people as someone that can help you accomplish your goals or your ministry goals. They are the goal. People are the goal. You are the goal. Okay? You being lifted up and exhorted in the Word of Christ and knowing the love of Christ and feeling that love between each other. That is the goal, okay? So he prayed for the people, and that's important. Then he prayed continually. Paul realized that no matter how great this ministry was, it would always need prayer. And that is something that I know we have focused on recently, and I want us to continue to focus on. We're going to have our prayer revival at the end of this month. And I want us to really focus on praying for one another. Remember those prayers in Ephesians that we realize that we can pray for each other. Please, let's not forget to pray those, okay? And let's remember that ministry needs prayer, no matter how great it may be. And so it's part of a wonderful ministry. Prayer. When we stop praying, it's like saying our prayers don't make a difference anymore. And we're basically saying that, you know, God's not listening to us anymore. Let's not do that. Let's keep praying. Let's be thankful in our prayers. Remember, we learned that gratefulness is part of worship, right? Let's be thankful for the ministry that God has given us. Let's be thankful for the church that He has put us in. And let's pray for our people and focus on our people. And let's always pray. Let's continue to pray, okay? Now, look at verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith. Now, in order to have a great ministry, it must be built by faith. It must be built by faith. You know, this church, they had such great faith that it was talked about throughout the region. It was talked about. They had great faith. And that's what it takes to have a great ministry. We've got to trust the Lord to do this. You know, we can't do what God wants to do in our midst on our own strength. We can't. We've got to rely on Him. And let me tell you something. Our God is able. Our God is able. The question is, do we believe it? Do we believe our God is able? You know, the work of the Lord is greatly hindered when Christians say it can't be done. You know, Christy pointed out to me that when we first started our ministry, that I was really optimistic. I was really optimistic. Really happy and optimistic. And you know what? I need to get back to that. We all need to get back to being happy and optimistic. Why? Because that shows that we believe our God can do great things. We believe our God can do great things, but when we're pessimistic and say, well, God can't do anything the way I am, or God can't do anything, well, what's that show? It shows a lack of faith, right? And it shows the opposite of the attitude that God wants us to have. The work of the Lord is greatly hindered when Christians say it can't be done. Now, that may sound funny to you, so let me give you a passage of Scripture to explain that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 19. Now, let me give you a little backstory here. The disciples of Jesus Christ were trying to heal a young man to cast out a demon that was in this young man, and they couldn't do it. Then Jesus came by and immediately cast the demon out of this young man. And I want you to see what happens as the disciples question Jesus about why they couldn't do it. Look at verse 19. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer. There it is again, prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to understand what happened here. I want you to understand what happened. The disciples tried to cast this demon out of this young man, and they could not do it. Jesus comes up to them. He casts the demon out of the young man. And then the disciples take him away privately and say, why couldn't we do this? Now, I want you to understand what he didn't say to them. He didn't say, because you're not doing enough. Okay? He didn't say, because you're not perfect in all that you do. Okay? Here's what he said. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe that it was possible. You did not believe that it was possible. You see, that's what we need to understand. We need to see that it wasn't because of some imperfection in their life, but it was because they did not believe that the Lord was strong enough to do it. That's what we need to see here. So the work of the Lord was actually hindered. I want you to understand, Jesus also didn't say, because it wasn't my will at that time. Okay? He didn't say that, because immediately he cast the demon out. It wasn't because it wasn't his will. It was his will. So if it was his will and it didn't happen, why didn't it happen? It was because of their lack of faith in God. Okay? So, can a Christian hinder the will of God or the work of God by saying it can't be done? Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to realize that our God is so powerful that he can do whatever he wants. And if we pray to him and we trust in him, we'll see him do great things, like move a mountain. We'll see him do great things. But we've got to trust that he can do it. Okay? Do we believe that God can do great things in Beacon Church? Do we believe that he can do a mighty work in the hearts and lives of men around us as we talk to them about Jesus Christ? Do we believe that? That's what it's going to take for us to have a great ministry. That kind of faith. We need to trust the Lord. Look at back at verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Remember something about faith. If you only do that which you are sure you can do for the Lord, you will never please him. Let me say that again. If you only do that which you are sure you can do for the Lord, you will never please him. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Faith. So understand that. If you're going to do some ministry for the Lord, it's going to take faith to do it the way God wants it to be done and please him in doing it, okay? George said, you know, when I get up here to do the announcements, I get really nervous. Well, you know what? He does it anyways, trusting that the Lord's going to help him get through it. We understand that. That's what we're talking about here. Trusting that the Lord can give you the ability to do what he has called you to do. That's faith. Amen? All right, so, back at verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. After it says, your work of faith, it says, and labor of love. Labor of love. So, in order to have a great ministry, it must show love. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many of you know this passage of Scripture because You probably had it at your wedding. This is this wedding scripture. It talks about love and all the wonderful aspects of love. But I want you to see verse 13. Now, understand that not only is this in the context of describing love, but it's in a greater context of the Apostle Paul describing the gifts of ministry and how all these gifts in ministry and how the ministry of the church works together. Okay? How does ministry work in the church? And the answer is in verse 13 of chapter 13. It says, "And now abide faith." There it is. We've already talked about faith, right? Hope. That's my next point. And we're going to see that. And then it says, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Right? Love. We talked about love in Sunday school as well. And how the church at Ephesus had lost their love. They had lost their love. They were a loveless church. And you know what happened to that church? It died. It died. Why? Because the greatest of these is love. You can't have a ministry without love. You can't have a church without love. A church without love is a church that is not pleasing God. And we need to see that. Now, I want you to understand something about this love that Jesus is talking about, that the Bible is talking about. It's a love that's going to take labor, hard work for us to exhibit towards one another. It's going to take labor for us to love. It takes labor to love the way Christ wants us to love. You know, it's not laborious for us to love some people. Some people are easy to love, right? They're easy to love. You can get along with them really well. And, you know, their personality is just great. And, you know, everybody just can easily love them. You know, they don't do anything that pushes any of your buttons, rubs you the wrong way, anything like that. And so it's easy to love them. But then there's people not so easy to love. Amen? As a matter of fact, there's some people that push every button you've got. And, oh yeah, George, no problem. And those people are the ones that it really takes a lot of work for you to love. But you know what? Those are the kind of people that Jesus wants you to show love to. Who are the people that Jesus loved and ministered to when he was on earth? Was it the ones that had everything going for them? The ones that were easily accepted in society? The ones that everybody had no problem loving? No! It was the unlovable, the ones that were hard to love, that Jesus ministered to. The ones with great need he ministered to. He showed Christ-like love to those people, even though it was hard to love them. You know, there's people in your life. It's going to be hard for you to love them. Their personality might be quirky. They don't have the same interests you do. They do things that kind of irk you. Those are the people Christ wants you to love. And those are the people that God is going to use more than anyone else to shape you in the image of his son Jesus Christ. Because they're the ones that are going to force you to love like Christ loved. That's what we need to do. If we're going to have a great ministry, we've got to be able to work with people in love. You know, in Colossians, the Bible says that we are to put on the we're to put on love, and it calls love the bond of perfection. It's the glue that holds us together. Understand that. If you aren't willing to accept others, even though it's hard for you to love them, you're not going to be bonded with anyone. Understand that. You're going to find yourself on an island all by yourself. But if you want to have a ministry that's focused on others and people, well, then you're going to have to love them, even though they're not fitting into your mold, fitting into what you would like them to be, or pushing your buttons. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. That's the kind of love that God wants us to show towards others. Now, let's look at the next phrase, because we're kind of running out of time. Back in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read that verse that I was talking to you about in Colossians. It says in verse 14 of chapter 3, "But above all these things, put on love." Once again, the emphasis there on love. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Okay, now, back in 1 Thessalonians, it says, after labor of love, and it says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, and in the sight of our God and Father. Now, before I go into that, I want you to understand something about this love that we're supposed to show towards others. I know that in order to show this kind of love, you are opening yourself up to being hurt. I understand that. I know that when you open up your heart and show this kind of love towards others, you are opening yourself up for some hurt, okay? People will hurt you as you minister like this in love. But one of the things I want you to understand, and that we talked about last week about worship, is as we worship the Lord and we live for Him, there's some things we need to sacrifice. One of these things that we need to sacrifice is our feelings. I know that is very difficult. I am not making light of it, because I know the hurt that comes when you pour your love into someone and then they hurt you badly. Okay? I know that. I understand that. But we've got to sacrifice our feelings on the altar and continue to show love towards people even though we've been hurt. Okay? Please, let's remember that. Because if we don't, at some point we'll get bitter. And when you're bitter, you can't minister to anyone. You really can't. And so I want us to remember that. Let's understand that, hey, if we love this way, we're opening ourselves up to the potential that we will get hurt. But put it on the altar of sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you this way, even though I may get hurt, as a sacrifice to you. And that's what worship is all about. So, with that said, let's go to the last phrase in chapter, in verse 3. It says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father, our God and Father. Now, in order to have a great ministry, it must exhibit patience. Or endurance. This word, this phrase would probably be better translated enduring hope. They had an enduring hope. It was a hope that even though they were going through trials, even though they were going through struggles, they were able to do it because they had hope. They had hope. Now, I want you to understand something about this ministry that they had at Thessalonica. It wasn't a great ministry because they had no problems in the church. Okay? Oftentimes when we see a ministry that's thriving or doing well, we think, oh, that's because they don't have the same problems we've got. Or everything must be going wonderful for them. That's why everything's why they're having a great ministry. No. No. As a matter of fact, that was totally the opposite of what was going on in Thessalonica. These people had big problems. Big problems. And they were facing severe persecution. As the Jews there in Thessalonica learned of the gospel, they hired what were called certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. We call those folks mafia around here, right? And they hired these guys. Yes. Okay. So thank you for laughing at that. I appreciate that. Trying to get a little humor in here, right? Laughter is good medicine. Remember, we learned that Wednesday night. Laughter is good medicine. So they hired these certain lewd fellows of the baser sort to persecute the Christians there at Thessalonica. These people were being beaten and thrown out into the streets. The house of Jason, they dragged the house of Jason out into the streets. They beat them up. They dragged them to the courts where they falsely accused them of treason before the Roman emperor. These people were risking their lives to have a ministry for the Lord. They had problems. They had difficulties. How in the world were they able to have a great ministry in spite of all this? I'll tell you how. They had hope. They had hope. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, their hope was in the day when he would come back again. When Jesus Christ would come back again. They had their eyes on that prize. Their eyes on that prize of Jesus Christ coming back in the clouds again someday and making everything right. That was their light at the end of the tunnel. That was their hope that kept them going, even though they were enduring severe persecution. And that was what gave them the motivation to minister to people and to love people, even though they were enduring such hardships in their lives. That's what makes a great ministry. That's what we need. Listen, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know something. You are going through life without the greatest gift of all. You are going through life without hope, without a light at the end of the tunnel. Please accept Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins and for your eternal life so that you can have hope. You can have that hope. And when you face these trials of life, you'll be able to continue on living for him and having a ministry like God wants you to because you have that hope. Christians, let's not get discouraged in well-doing, because if we faint not, we shall reap everlasting life. That's what the Bible tells us. That was the hope they had at Thessalonica, and that is our hope here at Beacon Church. That is our hope. That is what keeps us going on. So let's remember to pray for our ministry. Pray for your ministry. Pray for the people that you minister to. Pray for the pastor. Pray for those who are serving the Lord. Let's continue to pray for them and not forget to pray. Always praying. Let's realize that God is able to do great things in our midst. Let's not be pessimistic, but optimistic, because we know our God is able. He is able. And let's love one another like Christ loved, like He loved us. Aren't you thankful that He loved you when you weren't so lovable? I'm glad. And let's remember the hope that we have. What a hope we have. Jesus Christ is coming back someday in the clouds, and He's going to bring us with Him. And everything will be wonderful after that. That's awesome. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.